Unscripted.
Each episode is available to view on YouTube, so be sure to check us out.
You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Some people say, well, you know, you shouldn't impose a religion on your kids. You should let them choose for themselves. In many ways, though, faith, religion, it's like a language. You can't raise your kids without a language. You got to teach them a language, and right. whatever that language is. But that doesn't mean they can't learn other languages. That doesn't mean they can't, if they do learn another language, even appreciate their own language more. So when you raise your child with a faith, you're giving them kind of the tools. You're giving them the processes to live a life of faith. And if they do decide at some point to choose some other faith or to learn about other faiths, it doesn't mean that they won't be benefited. They're actually going to be strengthened in that process.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Saints Unscripted. I am Alex.
I'm Sabrina.
And this is our good friend Dave here with us today.
Hey, Dave. Welcome back.
Yes.
Nice to be with you again.
He's been on with us before. He has an amazing conversion story. And if you haven't watched it, we will put the link down below so that you can go watch that real quick. But today...
It's not that quick.
Don't say another word.
Well, you need to go watch that. Yeah. But yeah, today we're actually going to be talking about... it looks like just some families and interfaith stuff. And I mean, I feel like there's a lot of stuff we're going to be covering that I'm actually really excited to talk about. But first, I know that you said that you actually have some of your own YouTube channel and some projects that you're working on right now. Do you want to tell us about those things?
Sure. So the project is called the American Families of Faith Project. And our URL is americanfamiliesoffaith.byu.edu. And we do have a... YouTube channel, American Families of Faith YouTube channel that has lots of videos and podcasts and audio articles and cool stuff. So
yeah, so Dave, at what point, because if you've seen his conversion story, you know that he has experience with various faiths, but at what point did you feel like this is something that you kind of wanted to pursue in like a research level and really get to know all of these other faiths a whole lot more?
Yeah, great question. So I grew up an Episcopalian, hung out with mostly Catholic folks. My godmother's Jewish. It's a whole long story. But so I started off in an interfaith kind of an environment. My parents were from different faiths, and kind of when they got married, they converted faiths. And so, yeah, it's always been a part of my life, and been fortunate enough to be at BYU where we get to study religion and family life, and we just started first interviewing Latter-day Saint fathers of kids with special needs, and that was interesting. And then we thought, you know, 9/11 hit, and we thought it'd be important to reach out and study Muslim families and Jewish families and Catholic families and Orthodox Christian families and et cetera. So we've ended up studying about 9 different faith communities, and it's been a blast. Love to study other faiths, love to sit in living rooms and kitchens with people who care about their religious practices. They're committed to their faith. It's been fun to learn from them, and it's been great.
That's so awesome. And I know you, I was, we're talking about just interfaith and with family and all that. I know that you have brought your own children, you know, introduced them to some different religions as well. Yeah. So I was wondering just about what that's like for you and your children, and just what is your stance on inducing children during their formative years to like different faiths and that kind of thing?
Yeah. So I did a sabbatical in New England. My whole family went and lived in a big old farmhouse built in the 1800s. And I got to interview folks from many faiths and attend many services and interview many religious leaders from different faith backgrounds. So I thought it'd be fun to bring my kids along as often as possible so they could have an experience and learn about how other people worship God. And so I brought my kids to many services, and they've enjoyed that. And it's been fun to see them as they've grown. They're now adults, and they're interested in other faiths and have respectful feelings toward other faiths. They've heard their dad talk about our friends of other faiths is the phrase that I use a lot. And in fact, I used, talk a lot about, you know, our Catholic friends believe this, or our Jewish friends practice that, or our Muslim friends. And one of my kids at one point said, you know, Dad, I used to think that we had all these friends that I've not met before, because you keep talking about our Jewish friends or our Catholic friends. And then I realized, oh, you're talking about just the whole faith, yeah. not just some specific family, but all the folks from that faith. And so that's how I view it. And we've just really enjoyed. I'm thinking of one experience where I took my four kids or girls. We took them to a Hasidic Passover service, and it took about 5 hours, and it was really fun to do a Passover with them. I've taken my kids to, you know, services of many faiths. And they have loved it. And they, for example, really enjoy what they call the rock and roll churches, you know, where they have evangelical Christian churches where there's a keyboard and some drums and some, you know, guitar and lots of lively, enthusiastic worship. And they enjoy those services.
Cool. Yeah,
that's so awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think, and I don't know if I'm jumping too fast or not, but you're talking about how your kids are developing like this respect and appreciation for different parts of different faiths that maybe aren't part of their own, but that they can look at with admiration. And does that kind of go along with this topic that is addressed a lot in this project of the holy envy? I'm fascinated by that. And so if you maybe want to tell our people a little bit about what holy envy is, because envy is like a scary word, right? But when you put holy in front of it, then what?
That's a great question. Holy envy is a term. Christer Stendahl, who's a Lutheran bishop, now deceased, he coined that term way back in when he was observing what was happening in his home country of Sweden when the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints were building a temple there. There was a lot of opposition to the church. A lot of people were printing things and saying things that weren't accurate about the church. And so he held a press conference and mentioned that he had kind of three rules that he used for his relationships with other faiths. You know, one is he tries to talk to people who are members of a faith rather than people who are opponents of that faith to learn about a faith. Mm-hmm. Second, he always tries to make sure not to compare the positive things of his faith with maybe less positive things of other faiths, but compare positives with positives. Mm-hmm. And the third thing he says, he tries to reserve a little bit of room for what he called holy envy. The idea that you might find something in another faith that is so cool, so meaningful, so powerful, that you might really admire that so much that you kind of wish that your faith might have a little bit more. And he actually mentioned, interestingly, since the church is building a temple, he said, I actually have holy envy for the Latter-day Saint practice of baptism for the dead. He said, I think that's really great that Latter-day Saints believe in offering that gift to people on the other side of the veil. And he says, I wish that we Lutherans would do some of that. So he kind of set an example of showing that. So what we have experienced in our interviews with now about 300 families of various faiths, we've seen, and you know, just sitting with people who are highly committed to their faith, who love the Lord, they love each other, hearing how they live their faith in their family, how that faith helps them to be better, helps them to forgive, helps them to be committed, helps them to be, really focused on relationships and how that, you know, their relationship with God helps them be focused on their relationship with each other. That has led, and I should have mentioned earlier, my dear friend and colleague, Lauren Marks, he and I are the co-directors of the American Families of Faith Project. You know, as Lauren and I have worked with now hundreds of students in carefully analyzing those interviews and publishing about 170 scholarly articles so far. We've just loved learning about how our friends of other faiths strengthen their relationships. So, for example, our Jewish friends really focus on what they call Shabbat, the Sabbath day, and we've learned to appreciate the ways that they're committed, that they set things aside. They set aside electronics. They set aside, you know, media. They just devote their time for the whole Sabbath day, which in their case is Friday evening until Saturday evening, focused on God and on each other. And so they have wonderful interactions with Israel. I've had a chance to be with many Jewish families on Shabbat, and it's just, it's a beautiful, powerful thing. And I want to do more of that in my family.
So. That's a really good example. I was going to ask what are some of the holy envies you can think of, but that one is really good. And it's kind of, that specific one makes me think about how you like disconnect to connect, right?
Exactly.
And I think that's really important. Yeah. And I kind of just, I don't know, I want to understand a little bit more from what you have learned of how we can develop this holy envy, I guess, in a way that is holy envy, right?
Yeah, great question.
Yeah.
So Lauren Marks and I have, in a couple of our chapters and articles, put out this idea of what we call the empathy wall and developing holy envy. And it's kind of a journey. It's kind of a pathway. And it involves kind of going from being ignorant of another faith and then learning kind of indirectly about the faith, you know, becoming, you know, maybe doing some reading, maybe watching some YouTube videos and just kind of moving along the path. And then as we do that, most of us tend to develop appreciation and respect for other faiths, and that's great. And so hopefully we get to the point where we have kind of a healthy appreciation for another faith. Mm-hmm. But the real way to develop holy envy is to get to know people and to have personal relationships with people of other faiths. And and when we love a person, when we respect a person, it's hard not to respect what they believe in deeply, and and vice versa. You know, if we know, if we've done the effort to learn about another faith, and then we find out how this particular friend of ours or coworker or family member, how they live that faith. Because not everybody lives their faith, you know, the same way. There's, there's different ways to be religious, different ways to be Jewish, different ways to be Latter-day Saint. Mm-hmm. And so learning from that person about how they live their faith and what their faith means to them and why it matters to them and how it helps them, then that's kind of moving into deep respect. And then the more we see how that faith helps that person that we care about to be happy, to be successful, to gain peace, to, you know, have all kinds of benefits in their life, it would be hard not to say, I really love and appreciate that faith so much that I want to learn from that. I want to try to do better. President Gordon B. Hinckley, a former prophet of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, counseled Latter-day Saints to learn about other faiths and to learn to respect them, and that we can be better Latter-day Saints if we respect others and see how they live their faith. We can learn things from them that can help us live our faith even better. And I've learned that that's true.
Yeah.
It's not just an idea. It's actually true.
Yeah. Like with the example of the Jewish Shabbat, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Shabbat. How that you've wanted to implement that a little bit more in your life, how that's only going to strengthen your faith and your connection with God, but also that you developed that holy envy by spending that time with people.
So. Yeah. Exactly.
That's great. So during this this experience you've had of doing research and learning about other faiths, was there anything that you were surprised at? Anything that was just totally new to you? Or like how what was that like for you?
Yeah, great question. I think a couple things. One is surprised at how similar people who believe deeply in God and deeply and live their faith with real commitment, how similar that is across faiths. Yes, people call God by different names. Yes, they have different scriptures, different prayer practices. But the core processes of loving God, being committed to God, finding value in sacred texts, finding value in being involved in a faith community, finding value in gathering together in a family, to kind of attend to God, to focus on God, that ends up being very similar. And I found myself so many times sitting with families and feeling like I would love to have our family be friends with this family. My interviews were often other places, so it wasn't, you know, where my home was.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, if we lived in this area, I would love for our families to be friends. I'd love to have our kids come and see how this Jewish family or this Muslim family or this Catholic family observes their faith. And so for me, that surprise was the analogy that I sometimes use is it's like an Olympic village. If you go to an Olympic village, great athletes, wonderfully committed, wonderfully talented at their sport. But in the Olympics, there's all different kinds of sports. And you can look, if you just look superficially, like, you know, what does basketball have to do with, you know, rowing? I mean, they're so different.
Mm-hmm.
But the core principles of being committed and working hard and making sacrifices and, you know, mental strength and physical strength and nutrition, there's so many commonalities among elite athletes. And I think there's so many commonalities among people who take their faith seriously. Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of these, when you're mentioning you're sitting with families of other faiths, And I think family is like a huge part of, it's definitely a huge part of our faith. I think it's got to be a huge part of like pretty much every faith, right?
It is.
And I'm thinking about how, I mean, like, I'm going to have a kid soon and thinking about how.
Good for you. Congratulations.
But like, you know, I want to raise, you know, like you have this thought that you want to raise your kid loving the same things that, like the same things that are really important to you, specifically religious wise, right? But you also don't want to force them in any direction.
Right.
And I know that a lot of your research kind of was about this, like, parent and child's connection on, you know, like, what if they don't want to believe what you believe or.
Yeah.
And like, I guess just like, what do you feel like you've learned on that topic that's maybe important to share for people who are a child of a family or are going to have children their own?
It's a great question. Yeah. Those things that we care most deeply about, we would love to share those things with our kids. That's natural and understandable. Some people say, well, you know, you shouldn't impose a religion on your kids. You should let them choose for themselves. In many ways, though, faith, religion, it's like a language. You can't raise your kids without a language. You got to teach them a language and whatever that language is. But that doesn't mean they can't learn other languages. That doesn't mean they can't, if they do learn another language, even appreciate their own language more. So when you raise your child with a faith, you're giving them kind of the tools, you're giving them the processes to live a life of faith. And if they do decide at some point to choose some other faith or to learn about other faiths, it doesn't mean that they won't be benefited. They're actually going to be strengthened in that process.
Mm-hmm.
We also learned that parents have to be very careful, honor agency, not coerce, not force, because that tends to have the opposite effect. When parents are too pushy in their faith, it tends to push their kids away from their
faith. Definitely seen
that's very understandable. And so offering one's faith in love, in kindness, in humility, in patience, honoring a child's agency, one of the areas of research that we've done is religious exploration among youth.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that almost all youth study and explore and are curious about other faiths at some point in their life. And so if parents insist that kids never look at anything other than their own faith, you know, they just actively discourage them, that actually often has the opposite effect.
Yeah.
But helping children to explore in a context of faith, and you know, in my case, I love the benefits and the positive things of other faiths. I teach my kids about them. They would tell you that I love and respect other faiths, and I speak positively of other faiths. I also, however, love my own faith, and I'm deeply committed to my own faith. And in my case, I'm a Latter-day Saint. We believe that the church is a restored church that has truth that have been restored throughout time, throughout cultures, that we are blessed to have all truth, and we love all truth. And so for me, learning about other faiths is only learning about more truth and strengthening my ability to live the truth that I have. So I see it only as a positive thing.
Wow. Yeah.
I love that. So I'm going to kind of change gears slightly here because instead of asking a question, I have an experience that I wanted to share.
Wonderful.
As I was preparing for this episode, I had just remembered this experience back when I was, I can't even remember how old I was, but I just remember it was Christmas time and my parents took me and my siblings to, I want to say it was a Catholic service. I don't know. It wasn't
midnight
like
midnight mass. You said around Christmas time.
It was around Christmas time. Yeah.
Probably
it was like a musical service.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't like a church service. It was like some sort of musical to, like, you know, go and worship. Anyway, I wish I remembered more about it, but I just remember my parents, they were like, "Yeah, it's Christmas time and we're not the only ones who believe in Christ, you know?" And so they were like, "We want to go have this experience." So they took us to you know, whatever religion it was, I wish I remembered. But and we just sat there and we listened. It was a couple hours of just listening to them sing about the Savior, and we just like listened to scriptures and songs, and we sang together, and it was just like this awesome experience because I had never experienced anything like that. I'm born and raised in the church, and I just changing gears a little bit within our family, just going to a different religion. It was. I think for me that was formative because I learned that, I think growing up I always thought, when I was a little kid I always thought the only way you can feel the Spirit is if you get the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, like I, just as a kid I just assumed that I can only feel the Spirit if I'm in, you know, this religion. But for that experience for me was like, no, you can feel the Spirit in so many different ways and in so many different settings. And I mean, I just thought that was just such a beautiful experience.
Yeah.
So I was really excited to talk about this stuff today. So
Well, yep. Alex, your experience reminds me of an experience that I had with a Jewish Jewish congregation, a Hasidic Jewish congregation. So they, in Jewish congregations, they do what's called the priestly blessing, where descendants of Aaron, their last name is usually Cohen or Cohn, which means priest in Hebrew, they will raise their hands out over the congregation and recite the priestly blessing from Deuteronomy. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you. May the Lord bring you peace is basically what it is. And so I was in a service, and that priestly blessing was done. The five or six men stood before the congregation. They had their prayer shawls. They actually do their hands like this. So it's like, you know, Spock, Vulcan hand salute. Yeah. That's how they do their hands, and they hold it out over the congregation. And they said the priestly blessing in Hebrew. And I didn't know this was going to happen, and I didn't know what they were saying. But I felt blessed in the way that I have felt blessed when apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, often in gatherings or priesthood meetings or whatever, will say, I'd like to give you an apostolic blessing, and then they'll bless the congregation. And I have felt blessed. I felt blessed in the same way at that time. And I realized God can work through many ways in blessing his children. And so that's, and by the way, Leonard Nimoy was raised Jewish, not Orthodox, but his grandfather was Orthodox, and his father would bring him to go to Orthodox services, and when they did the priestly blessing, you're actually not supposed to look, you're supposed to close your eyes, but he looked, and that's where he came up with the, you know, live long and prosper, which is kind of a short version of the priestly blessing.
Interesting.
So it really is.
You just blew my mind.
Do you have a challenge for them? Just with this
topic?
That. We've never given a challenge to the audience.
I don't. No.
I have one.
Okay.
Learn about a religion you don't know about.
Yeah. Great
from
challenge.
Someone who is in that religion.
Great challenge.
That's awesome.
And thank you. I mean, I feel like I've got a lot to think about, a lot more I want to do and learn. And
So thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful day.
See you next time.
Thanks for listening. If you want to watch our videos, check us out on YouTube or shoot us a message on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.